Hello and welcome to a cornucopia of tales and tellers. I'm Simona, and this time I'm here to introduce a special episode of our podcast. This time we thought we would treat you with three different tales told by the three of us, Alan, David, and myself. And the three tales are all around the theme of springtime. So, without further ado, enjoy.
I've got a riddle for you. A hopper of ditches, a cropper of corn, a wee brown cow with two leather horns, vanishing as quickly as she appears, moving as silently as a ghost. I'm not talking about a rabbit, those blow-ins. It's the Irish hare. She's been on these shores since the time of the old gods. An inherent part of Ireland's culture, the Irish hare is as mystical and mysterious as the land itself. From past to present, the fairy tales reveal the magic behind the ethereal creature. Hares would make small nests hidden in the long grass. This is where ancient Celts would find eggs in springtime, leading to the belief hares laid eggs. This is the origins of the Easter egg. But these nests were actually used by ground-laying birds instead. Legend has it, one fine morning, Oisín, Finn McCool's son and part of the legendary warriors, the Fianna, was out hunting when he came across a hare. Now, Oisín was an amazing swordsman and an even better shot. And he took one look at the hare and thought, ooh, that looks like a great breakfast. And he shot at it, but he missed, and he only caught it by the leg. Now, this is a rare thing for Oisín, so he chased after it, and it ran off. He found a trail of blood, which he followed until he spotted the hare in the distance. It dashed quickly down a tunnel under a fairy tree. He followed it in, only to find a great big throne room where he ended up. And the goddess of the moon and dawn, Aistra, was sitting on her throne, injured, covered in blood, wincing in pain. Look what you've done to me, Oisín. You're going to have to remedy this. He begged her for forgiveness. Promise me one thing. You'll never hunt hares again. I promise. And he never did.
I'm walking along the River Otter here in Devon. It's springtime. I can hear the birds singing, and above me are trees, and there's a birch tree with its leaves budding. This is an old European story. The Silver Birch. There was once a shepherd girl, and she had taken her flock of sheep and lambs near to the edge of the forest to graze, and there they were all peaceful, when she noticed that one of her lambs was missing. Little lamb, where are you? And far off in the direction of the forest, she could hear the gentle tinkling of the bell around the lamb's neck. So she set off in that direction, leaving her flock to graze. There she saw some wool caught on a thistle. She took the wool and wrapped it round her fingers and called again, little lamb, where are you? She came further towards the forest. There was more wool caught on a bramble. She twisted that wool round her fingers. Little lamb, where are you? And now a thorn with more wool. And she came now into the edge of the forest, where she had never been, where there was no pathway, a place she had been warned never to go. But on she went, I cannot return without the lamb. Into the forest she came, and there were holly trees and more wool on the prickles. And she gathered more and more wool as she went searching for her lamb. There was no path. She stepped carefully over the roots of the trees, dipped under the low-hanging branches. Little lamb, where are you? And now finally it was growing dark, and the forests were thick around her, and how would she find her way home? She was lost, and she stood in an opening, and there was a gleaming tree. Why are you so sad? I've lost my lamb. And she looked up, and looking down at her was the face of the silver birch tree spirit. Perhaps I can do something for you, if you will do something for me. What? Teach me how to dance. The shepherd girl took the corners of her apron between her fingers. She skipped to the left, she skipped to the right, she skipped right around the trunk of the tree, careful not to trip in the roots. Then the tree reached her slender silver branches, her smooth twigs down, and wrapped them around the girl's wrists and danced with the girl, turning and pulling her long-reaching roots out of the ground. And the tree and the girl span around and around, dancing, and the girl was careful because there were wood anemones and now bluebells growing and now in flower. All around her, the seasons was changing. In an instant, the leaves were bright and green, and springtime was going on to summer. There were catkins hanging, yellow ones, long and male, and short, green, firm, female ones, and now they were turning deep crimson red of summer. Oh, she could see fungi on the ground below, and now she was taken up by the branches of the birch tree and turned round and around as she flew through the air, and there was a woodpecker pecking in the trunk of the tree, making its nest. And now already there were the eggs and the little chicks hatching, the woodpecker chicks. Oh, and she was spinning round and around, and she could... Oh, now there were ladybirds feeding on the aphids on the leaves, and all around her she could see caterpillars, and now they were transforming into nighttime moths. Oh, so fast she was dancing now as the summer was passing. Oh, I'm tired, she said to the tree. But the tree spun her faster and faster, and the golden leaves of the tree were falling in a flurry all around her. Let me go, I am tired. I am tired too, said the tree, and let her fly up into the sky among the nighttime stars. And she fell, 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 and the winter birch tree, no more leaves, caught her and rocked her, and through the long cold winter night she slept. And early in the morning when she woke, the tree was cradling her, and already there were leaf buds again, just as there were at first. Set me down. And the tree put her down in a pile of golden leaves that had fallen in the flurry of the autumn dance. Thank you, she said to the tree. And now she could hear it, the bell. And there was her lamb grazing beside the tree. Oh, thank you, you've returned my lamb to me. Yes, said the tree. Look. And she looked, and there was the wool that she had twisted round her fingers, and it had been spun in the dance into a fine skein, and it was hanging down. And she took that skein of wool and was about to skip away when the tree said, take some of my golden leaves. So she filled her apron with golden leaves that had fallen, and she went away. Quickly she found her way out of the forest. She was no longer afraid. She knew all the seasons in that moment. She knew all of the life the forest trees brought, and the birch tree in particular. And she went out with her lamb beside her and rejoined her flock, and it was as if she had only been away for moments. And she was tired. And they came towards the hard road, but her apron full of golden leaves was so heavy, she had to let it drop, and there tinkling onto the hard road surface were gold coins. It was her reward for teaching the silver birch tree spirit how to dance. I first came across this story written down in the book The Spirit of the Forest. Helen East wrote it down there, but I've come across it, read it, and heard it many times since, and now this is my version. And as I look at those burgeoning spring leaves on the trees, and particularly the silver birch, I think how all life is coming and all seasons are there in that moment, and all the connections, and how we can be connected too. If we just watch and notice nature.
There was once a king who was always happy, and everybody in his kingdom loved him because he was kind, generous, clever, But most of all, he was a good king. But one morning, the king woke up and he was feeling sad. And everybody around him noticed that, and they tried to help him and cheer him up. But whatever they did, it didn't work. So they all got together and they tried to find a solution. And after a while, the cook spoke up. "Oh, well, I think I know the solution to the problem," he said. "I think the king just needs to eat his favorite dish. I'll prepare it for him and we'll solve the problem in no time." And so the cook started preparing the king's favorite dish, roasted peacock with potatoes and spinach. But when he placed it in front of the king just looked at it and he didn't even grab a bite.
Well, the cook said, I don't understand what's going on here. I thought I had found a solution to the problem.
But no, that was not what the king needed. And so they all got together again. And after a while, this time it was the chemist who spoke up.
"Well," he said, "I think I know the solution to the problem. I think the king just needs his favorite herbal tea. I'll prepare it for him and we'll solve this problem in no time."
And so the chemist started mixing the herbal tea for the king. He put mint and licorice in it, the king's favorites. But when he placed it in front of the king just looked at it and he didn't even swallow a gulp.
Well, said the chemist, I don't understand what's going on here. I thought I had found a solution to the problem.
But no, that was not what the king needed. And so they all got together again. And this time, after a while, it was one of the courtiers who spoke up.
Well, he said, I have no particular skill of my own, but I think that what the king needs is music, and that we should call all of the best musicians in the realm, telling them that if they can cheer the king up, they'll have a chest full of gold.
They were so desperate that that's what they did. And a long queue of musicians formed outside of the castle gates. The first musician entered the room and he played soft music of love and lost and regret. But no, that was not what the king needed. The second musician played cheerful music that reminded people of their childhoods. But no, that was not what the king needed. The third musician played very cheerful music and you couldn't keep your feet still. But no, that was not what the king needed. And musician after musician, they all went in and failed. Because that was not what the king needed. There was a boy who lived on a farm, not far from where the king lived. And this boy was very good at playing the fiddle. Whenever he played the fiddle, the animals would stop and listen to him. And one day he went to his father and he told him that he wanted to go to the castle and try to cheer the king up. The father didn't want to let him go, but in the end, he agreed. And so the boy went to the castle gates and he knocked at the doors. And the guards opened the doors and hearing why he was there, they laughed at him.
You want to cheer the king up? Oh, please, far better musician than you have tried and failed.
The boy didn't answer. but he took his fiddle and started playing. The guards were mesmerized. Oh, please, go in. Go in and cheer our king up. Bring our happy king back. And so the boy entered the castle. And when he saw the king, he started playing his fiddle. And at first, the king didn't even look up. But then he did. He looked at the boy. And then he started seeing all the things that the boy was playing on his fiddle. He saw the river flowing gently. He saw the birds flying in the sky. He saw flowers blooming. He saw sunshine and rain and warm wind. He saw springtime. And when the boy stopped playing, the king was happy again, and he gave the boy the chest full of gold. And yes, the boy lived happily for the rest of his life. And whenever the king felt that he was starting to feel sad, he would go to the boy's house and ask the boy to play for him. He would be reminded of springtime, and he would be happy all over again. So, we've reached the end of the episode, and we hope you enjoyed our tales. Let us know what you think, and until next time, bye! Bye-bye!